Welcome to the Round 21, your Supercoach Coach podcast. This week I'm joined by Mark or FB Donkey.
G'day everyone, at FB Donkey on Twitter, add me.
Good self-promo there, Mark. We're going to start off as we do every week by letting you guys know how exactly we went on the weekend. Mark, we faced off in the prelim final. In a qualifying final.
Indeed we did, mate. And it looks like I've won that. I think I had a donut as well. Did you have any donuts?
No, I didn't, Mark. And how many times this year have you beat me in scoring, let alone with a donut? And it happens on finals week one, so...
Oh, well. Yeah, it did.
At least I've got the double shot in that league, so I'll be hoping to meet you again in the grand final. How exactly did you score?
Might come through the back way. I think there's a couple of different leagues that we're in that we could be meeting in the grand final.
How exactly did you score, Mark?
I scored 24.96, which is... extremely high considering I had the Roughhead donut, as said. I finally succumbed and traded Tippett out on the weekend. I would have been looking at two donuts otherwise. I brought in one of your favorites, Michael Johnson, Marcus, who I think he was on 16 at halftime, and I was ruining my decision, but he managed to pull out an 82, so not too bad in the end. Treloar, brilliant again for me with 115. He's the gift that just keeps giving.
Been one of the best rookies all year. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. Like, I had no idea Treloar was going to be this good. Just is totally gone way beyond anything I expected. But remember, like 6 or 7 weeks ago, he posted a 7.
Yeah, that's right.
He had to fill in. And at that time, I'm like, oh my God, Treloar, like what a terrible player. But he's just killed it since then.
Yeah. I only scored a little bit less than you, Mark. 24.67.
But that definitely was less than me.
Yes, it definitely was. I had the vice captaincy on Patrick Dangerfield, Mark. And I was hoping Ablett wouldn't play or something. But Mark, as I've said for the last few shows, don't really track my team just because... Get increasingly disappointed week to week now. I did move up a tiny bit, so 276, but I was quite certain I'd be in the top 100 when I was, you know, sitting in the top 200 with three trades to go, and things quite haven't quite panned out the way I would have liked, and I don't think I'm going to get there without Beams. Mark, he's absolutely killing it. So I'm just going to resign myself to being happy with the top 500, and I guess things could be worse.
I say okay. So I had all of Cochin, Beams, and Dangerfield all scoring above 170. Massive week for the three youngsters, up and comers. In a real AFL team, if you had to pick one to come to Geelong, who would you pick?
Dangerfield.
He's a match winner, definitely.
Oh, yeah. You just got to wait till that comes consistently. I don't know. Cochin, I'm not as much in love with him as you are, Mark. So
I do have a pretty big man crush with Cochin.
I know. I need a bit more outside flair to impress me, Mark.
Unfortunately, it was one of the first times all year that I haven't watched the Richmond game. I was at the Essendon North game, so I didn't catch Richmond Doggies, and it was the one game where Cochin really got away, so I would have loved to have had a chance to watch that.
Anyway, on to this week's topics of discussion. So we're just going to go through and look at a few players that we haven't covered recently that might be good for the run home, and then look at one AFL club that is particularly good for anyone that's playing a cutthroat final this week. So we're going to jump straight in, Mark. Should we start by looking at a couple of rookies from the Western Bulldogs?
Sure.
Talia and Johannesson. Have you watched either of them play, Mark?
I was actually at the footy during that horrible, horrible game between Essendon and North, and so I missed their games on the weekend. Though I know Talia was a reasonably high draft pick. A little bit surprised you haven't seen him a bit earlier, I'm pretty sure he's a key defender, so the boogie... Bulldogs injuries so far, I thought they might have tried to get a bit more experience into him.
And like Lin Jong played his first game as well, so I don't know about job security about any of these blokes, but then again, Western Bulldogs seem to be a bit like Gold Coast last year, Mark, just running through their list, seeing who plays well when they finally get the call up.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they should be doing in their position. I think it's at this time of year, like if you were going to be a good rookie, you would have played already, you would think. The probably one standout would be Brendan Lee, who I think did some pretty nice things for the Bombers, but with a few of our players coming back from injury, he might even struggle to hold his spot in the team. So, yeah, it's pretty slim pickings at this time of year for rookies.
All right, so on to some premiums and players that you can actually use in the final series. We're going to start off in the back line with Pierce Hanley, Mark. The reason I've brought him up is he's really cheap at the moment, $385,000 and averaging 88 for the year. Remember at the start of the season, he was being talked up as, you know, one of those breakout halfback players. And of course, we've seen how long away he's come, his fitness paired with his kicking for just an Irish player is absolutely amazing. He's managed some big scores throughout the year, 151, his best game this season in round 13. Presents a value option at $385,000, and with Adelaide, Port Adelaide, and Western Bulldogs, their last three opponents, well, he should be in for at least matches mean of 88, so a 100 return from that price would be a great get, Mark.
Yeah, it's interesting that he really has dropped off in the last 3 weeks after having a really good patch in the middle of the year. He does seem to have scored better against the easier teams.
On to the midfield, Scott Thompson, $491,000, Mark.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so he's absolutely value priced with three really, really easy opposition to play in Brisbane, Melbourne,
and Gold Coast. And he loves speeding up on the easy teams.
He does. You could even expect upwards of, you know, 140 over the last three games. That is if he actually plays. So, you know, keep your eye out on team sheets this week. But I have a feeling that if he's rested, it'd probably be round 22 or 23. So it's a bit of a gamble there. But if you're looking for a cheap player that's going to score big this week, I think he's in for a big game against the Brisbane Lions.
Considering he was up around the 630 mark at one stage in price, that's a really cheap price you're getting him at. The fact that he's coming off 92, 106, 78, and 94, that could actually be a bit of a concern because that could mean, hey, maybe he's carrying a niggle, maybe he is going to need a rest more than, and that's the sort of the exact sign that would worry you that he's going to get a rest, that his scoring and possession count has just dropped off. Although, looking against the Cats, he had 40 touches for just 106 points.
Although with Dangerfield playing the footy that he's playing, you'd hope opposition to put their number one tag on Dangerfield, not Thompson at the moment.
At some stage that has to happen, doesn't it? It'll be interesting to see how Danger handles that because his ability with the contested ball means that he's going to be pretty tough to tag.
Matthew Wright, Mark. He's just a player I want to get your views on for the future. Not sure if he's a player for the next three rounds, although, again, Adelaide do have really cruisy draw. He's averaging 90 for the season, this being his breakout season, of course. He's mid-forward MPP, and I'm sure not many people would actually know about him. He's quite an underrated player. 470,000, scored 170 on the weekend and was a big hero alongside Patrick Dangerfield. Did you watch his game, Mark? Were you impressed?
Very impressed, and he's done that a couple of times recently. I think, I can't remember if it was this weekend or a couple of weekends ago that my wife it must have been on the weekend that my wife looked at me and said, "Who is Matthew Wright?" Just never having heard of him before and seeing him just dominate the scoring. Not someone really that I think is overly fantasy relevant personally.
I think maybe next year and beyond we might be changing our tone there. So I look forward to seeing how his preseason goes next year because he's a mighty impressive player, and Adelaide have pulled out a lot of midfielders from, it seems, thin air in the last year. So I'm quite impressed by Wright. Now, Rockcliffe, Mark, Brisbane player. Again, we've mentioned their draw, Adelaide, Port Adelaide, and Western Bulldogs. So Port Adelaide and Western Bulldogs being the particular highlights. You'd think that Rockcliffe would have a decent games against them. He's not doing too poorly, 102. Of course, you'd be absolutely horrified if you started with him, having already dropped, you know, 180,000 and not scoring anywhere close to what he was scoring last year. But for the run home, how do you feel about his selection at only 420K?
Well, obviously, if you've got an injury in the midfield and you're sort of looking for a cheap option, then Rockcliffe is very enticing, especially considering his record against those poorer clubs. against the Bulldogs, he scored 147 in round 13. So that's and he's really struggled five of the last 6 weeks, and it's all been against the real quality opposition that he's played. And he's really up and down for a midfielder. Doesn't have quite the consistency of a lot of other midfielders. Does have a very high ceiling. So at 420,000, if you can't afford much more, you're going to struggle to find better pick than Rockliffe.
Yeah, I think it's just unfortunate that because of the mix in the forward line and the midfield, that he was forced to play more forward line than fantasy coaches would have hoped. So, but against Port Adelaide and Western Bulldogs, that'll probably work to his advantage. And if he can get away, you know, with 2, 3, 4 goals and a fair few possessions, then there'll be some pretty big scores in hand. I think in the first 8 rounds, he managed 4 games above 139. So his scoring potential is definitely there. Now, to the forward line, Mark, and I want to start off with a Geelong player. He scored a 3 a couple of weeks ago, and that's Steve Johnson, and that's exactly why he's bottomed out with that no longer in his price movement for the coming weeks. His break-even's only 39, 450,000, averaging 96 for the season, of course, starting really slowly the first 5 rounds, building fitness, and then has been unleashed in the midfield. And in the last 5 rounds, 148, 136, of course, that 3, 107 and 140. So an absolutely prolific scorer, and has been since round 6. If I calculated the average, I dare say you take out that 3, and since round 6 it would be 115, which is absolutely magnificent for a forward line player. The only unfortunate thing is they do have St Kilda, Western Bulldogs, and they finish with Sydney. So that isn't particularly easy opposition, but at 450,000, if you're looking for a forward, I don't think there's any better this week, Mark.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there, mate. Pick of the week, especially at that current price and people struggling on finances and low on trades. I think that taking a risk on Stevie J would be the way to go. His possession count's been really good and has scored really well in a lot of those games. He is a bit inconsistent, which it's possible it could cost you a final when he comes out and gets a 60 or so, but he could also win you a final with 170.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Mark. The next player we're going to look at is a Rewalt, not Nick Rewalt. I think he may be close to the out of the season, but Jack Rewalt from the Richmond Football Club. Last week we did talk about him, Mark, and he came out and bang, 140. It was a big game and good call from us to start off that finals campaign for super coaches. His last 3 games are against Fremantle, Essendon, and Port Adelaide, so he's still a really good option, and he did only go up 9,000 following his big 140, so he's still a relevant option.
Sure, another really inconsistent player, probably more inconsistent than Stevie J. If you don't have Stevie J, I think you'd have to take him ahead of Rewalt, but if you've already got Stevie J and don't have a whole lot of funds, Rewalt might be a pretty good option. Although Fremantle, Essendon, both still fighting for a final spot, so they've really got one easy game left, and that is helpful that that's in the grand final if you can make it that far.
Now, the third option that we have on the run sheet, Mark, in the forward line cost pretty much the exact same price as the previous two. Again, Taylor Walker, 450,000. So now that we know that Johnson rates above Rewalt in your books, where does Walker sit? Of course, 135 and 115 the last 2 weeks, and Adelaide with Brisbane, Melbourne and Gold Coast to come is a really attractive option.
Yes, absolutely. The fact that I think the draw just gets him completely over the line. I think Rewalt is a better player and probably a higher scorer in general, but just against that opposition, the fact that Walker was suspended means he had 3 weeks where he wasn't injured, was able to train fully, but he's so unlikely to get a rest compared to the rest of the team. Definitely has a high scoring ceiling. Hasn't actually had many poor games this season, so has sort of taken a lot of that inconsistency out. It'd be interesting to see whether Tippett plays or Tippett's out for the season, because Walker's sort of their absolute key forward with Tippett out. But yeah, I think Walker would be ahead of Rewalt for me, but behind Stevie J, even though I think the Walker versus Stevie J battle is actually closer than it probably seems on face value.
Yeah, I think it's really tight, like you said, Mark. His highest score for the season, Walker, is 135. So while he is a key position forward that can potentially kick a bag of goals, when he scores well, it tends to be about the 100 to 115, 120 mark. So in that sort of sense, you know, Stevie Johnson might look more attractive as a finals player, like Mark said, just for the simple fact that you know, a big game from him as, you know, a relatively unique player as well might just seal the whole deal for you. So,
would you agree that Taylor Walker is a safer pick than Stevie J?
I definitely agree. And that's where sort of final strategy comes into it, I guess. Would you advise people look at their opponents and sort of determine whether they need, you know, a safe player because their team already stacks up well against the future opposition, and then therefore go Stevie Johnson if you have more points to make up? How would you advise on that sort of thing?
Well, sure. I'm not quite sure because I didn't actually lose preliminary finals, so maybe you'd be better to advise there.
I think you make a good point. And personally, I'd probably go for the consistent player if I was confident that I was going to beat my opponent, and if I thought I needed a particularly big score or point of difference, then I think Steve Johnson is the prime candidate for that because his selection numbers are still really low. He's only in 46,000 teams, and for a forward that's averaged, you know, close to 115 since round six, that's pretty darn good.
It is, because you're basically getting a midfielder for a forward's price, because Stevie J really hasn't been playing forward that much over really the last significant period of time. It's sort of more Chappie that's gone forward rather than Stevie J.
Yeah, interesting to note, Mark, in six of his last 13 games, and six of 12 if you take out the game that, you know, he was a early withdrawal with that three. So in six of the 12, he scored more than 136. So that's a pretty darn good hit rate for a forward line player.
Six of the 12 more than Taylor Walker's highest score.
Yeah, exactly right. So I think that speaks for itself, Mark, and we'll move on to the last topic of discussion for this week, and that's the Carlton Football Club.
Oh, sorry.
They're playing Essendon this week, which actually isn't quite as tough opposition as we would have penned in about nine rounds ago. They've got Gold Coast next week, and they finished with St Kilda. So just in terms of, we were looking for a team that, you know, we did talk about Hawthorn, St Kilda, Richmond, Adelaide last week. We're looking for a few more players now that week one has gone by of the finals who still have a good run home, and we thought Carlton were a reasonable candidate, considering the Essendon-Carlton game might be a little bit more to Carlton's favour in terms of momentum than we would have expected looking at the final series early in the year.
Depends how far back you go, mate. Like, if you were looking at it from round three's perspective, you'd think that Carlton would have been a massive favourite.
True.
Whereas if you're looking at it about round eight or nine, Essendon would have been a massive favourite. So depends a little bit on your perspective there. There's a lot of word around that Paddy Ryder comes back this week, which is just about Essendon's most important player. Zaharakis might come back. There's another one coming back this week. Myers is a maybe. So there's a few reasonably significant. Stanton will probably be back. There's a few reasonably significant players coming back. So, And Juddy comes back for Carlton, so it should be a huge game this weekend.
Mm. But then Gold Coast next, which is good, and a St Kilda potentially without Nick Riewoldt. And St Kilda looks like they're going to miss out on top eight as well. So I think pretty decent considering most of their players are. Also, a tiny bit underpriced, Mark. Chris Judd coming back this week, like you said, 524,000. Of course, we all forgot that in the game that he actually got suspended controversially in, 159 he scored and was clearly best on ground. Most outside game we've seen Juddy play in what would be about 4 years now, Mark. Would you be tempted into that?
Judd's a really interesting prospect because he sort of had a real down patch there. Leading into the bye, but straight after the bye, just went absolutely nuts for a few weeks, and then just it went to his head, and he went a bit crazy on Lee Adams. But so before his suspension, Judd's form was really, really impressive, and now that Murphy's back, Carlton's sort of midfield's that little bit stronger. So you'd think that Judd would be—he's obviously not going to get a rest. So you'd think that he could score quite well. Would you take Judd or Scott Thompson?
That's a tough one, Mark. I think I'm still penciling Thompson in for a rest personally, so I'd take Judd. And beyond that, assuming each plays three games, I think Judd coming back as an absolute champion player, and we know how good he is, I think he's got a point to prove. And I don't think I've ever seen Judd let anyone down when he's got a point to prove.
Sure. Yep, I'd pretty much agree with that. Judd definitely has that huge scoring potential, and he'd be really unique going into the finals after coming off a big suspension.
How about Murphy, though? Murphy instead of Judd?
Nah, personally, I'd take Judd. I just think that his ceiling is a bit higher. Judd's definitely got a point to prove, and I'm not totally sold that Murphy's in at 100% fitness. He's fit enough to be playing around because he's such a classy player, but I'm not totally sure that he's 100%.
I'll agree with you, Judd ahead of Murphy for me too. Now, in the back line, Scotland v. Carrazzo. Who would you take there, Mark?
I think you'd take Carrazzo. Just has that consistency. Scotland had the calf injury, which could be a bit more concerned than Carrazzo's shoulder.
His lowest game's only 83, Mark. Surprisingly, Scotland. I don't think we've had a season where Scotland's lowest is 83 before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't believe that.
Still Carrazzo for me.
Yeah, I think me too, but that's just very, very marginally. And I think, Mark, either way you come out of it, it'll probably be a max difference of only 30 points. So take what you like, I reckon.
Is there any price difference between them?
Pretty much the same. 499.5 and 509. So if 9.5K makes a difference to you, go Carrazzo, I guess.
I think you're probably going to struggle to win your grand final without at least one of these guys.
That makes me nervous. I picked Shaw over Scotland and Carrazzo on the weekend, Mark, and Shaw scored worst out of all three of them despite having the highest average. So hopefully it picks things up from here. Well, I hope your predictions
Speaking of which, how's your Harbrow recommendation been going?
Oh, yeah. Hasn't that just been awful for you? Two lowest scores of the year. Yeah, as soon as you bring him in. Hilarious. You just knew what would happen too, didn't you?
It's amazing how often that happens, that someone can score, average 100, never score below 90 for 12 weeks, and then you bring him in and they get just go to crap.
Yeah, fuck you, Michael Johnson.
Yeah, there's been many examples like that this year. Stanton, Murphy.
Oh, yeah. Mitch Robinson, Mark, the last player we're going to wrap up with. Carlton forward line. He came back off course last week and only scored 32.
Spotted it.
Yeah, dropped 35K in price, but 455,000. His break even, he's still going to drop a bit more, 156. But if you're looking at him this week, you know, he did manage to average. I think we were talking when Judd went down, you know, we'd pen him in for 95 plus, and I was a bit hesitant on that, but he certainly has lived up to that. Oh, sorry, when Murphy went down, he's certainly averaged more than 95. I think 161, 91, 74, 91, 122, 98, and 100 while Murph was out. So he smashed that. How do you feel about him considering the last three opposition?
Considering the other forwards have talked about, the Walker, Rewalt, Johnson options that are the same price, massive no from me. The fact that he scored 32, the fact that there's like been a huge mystery surrounding exactly what his injury was and why he was out for so long. A lot of players actually struggle on their second game back more than they do on their first game back. So from that respect, yeah, there's definitely better options out there.
Excellent. So I think that's it for this week, Mark. We're getting sparse on conversation topics at this time of year. Anything else from you?
No, that's it, mate. We always do get a bit sus on conversation topics at this time of year because not many people have any trades left. Personally, I'm down to just one trade, 3 weeks to go. My bench is a little bit thin. Like, where the hell is Joel McDonald gone? I kept him as cover, and he hasn't played for like 5 or 6 weeks, which has been a bit concerning and made me trade on the weekend. Chapman not coming back this week could be a bit of a concern. I think I'm going to need Giles to keep playing while Chappie's out. So, yeah, the bench, and I've still got Broughton sitting on my bench. So the bench situation's a little iffy, but just the players on the ground have been doing all right lately.
All right, Mark, best of luck with your scoring on the weekend and with Beams. Hopefully you catch up bit more to me because I've given up on a top 100, so you might as well join me in the top 500.
More than welcome, more than willing to do that. And the YSCC Aces League, sitting around sixth and still in with a shot of a top three finish. So we'll be trying to bring that home.
Best of luck to everyone with their final series, and we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See ya. See ya.